Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh my goodness gracious. It is Moran Monday on the Horn. Hi, this is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you'll find a selection of the day's news stories for your perusal and consideration. I got that job done today. Yay me. It's also where you'll find the pop-out player, which is just awesome for listening by your PC. Although, if you prefer to listen via some, you know, tablet, smart device, then at present, we recommend the apps from TuneIn and or Stitcher. With the caveat, of course, that when you see ads there, especially if they are from some particularly noxious corporation, you need to understand that that is not an ad that was placed by the Horn or sold by the Horn, and that the Horn is receiving no financial remuneration whatsoever for the running of those said ads. As long as we're clear. Okay? Also at the Horn, of course, the ever-present, you got it, PayPal button. That's how we keep this whole affair running. And that is, in fact, the only way this stays on the air. And we encourage you, I encourage you, if you are able to help us keep going. We find ourselves in a $280 fundraising hole this evening. That's the ordinary $150 plus $130 that remains from last week's fundraising efforts. I'm proud to say that earlier today, Bill managed to finish off the last of Sparky's Pull the Pin Challenge from Friday, so thanks very, very kindly for that. Hopefully we will not have another week like last week and we can get this, we can get fundraising back to where it needs to be because there are a whole bunch of bills to pay. It's just a fact, and I don't know, maybe you'd prefer if we had ads for ExxonMobil or maybe, Alpha Natural Resources. Blowing up America, one mountain at a time. And that way I could stop with the fundraising stuff. But we don't, so if this is going to continue, it has to continue as it has for, these nearly 10 years. PayPal button is, at headonradionetwork.com. So, too, is the traditional mail address, which you are free to use if you so wish. Thank you for the reminder, Randy. It is Monday, the 9th day of June, 2014. Moran Monday. Yes, indeed. And I've been collecting Morans all weekend, as apparently so too have you. And I have a feeling we could just fill the whole evening up with nothing but Morans. Yeah, a topic in the chat room. By the way, you'll also find the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. Hey, did I say hi? I'm Bob Kincaid yet? Well, I am. The chat room topic this evening, as established by indefatigable chat room monitor, Sparky, get the duct tape and tennis ball ready for Moran Monday. You may go into a second roll for this one and chew through the first. I recommend always having a fresh can of tennis balls handy and at least one entire roll of duct tape. Because otherwise you'll bother the neighbors and stuff. Yeah. This is, like I said, I've been been collecting morans all week, and then you think you've got a handle on things, and along comes
Alex Jones.
Dear God, I think we have to play the music for this and do the whole Moran Monday setup.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up from sea to shining sea, from east to west, from north to south, and all around this magnificent globe. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed, we have morans of all manner. Right-wing morans, teabagging morans, homicidal morans, freedom-protecting morans, Republican morans, libertarian morans, teabagging morans, more morans than you can conceive in one single cybernetic circus tent. Yes, indeed, behind this single cybernetic thin veil of canvas, you will find morans to shock your conscience, make your eyes bug out, make your ears disbelieve their ability to transmit sound. It is Moran Monday on the Horn, and for less than a nickel per hour of programming, that's right, we have this Moran Monday to shock and amaze. Folks carrying bags into the Moran Monday tent are advised to hang on to them, as well as hanging on to small children, as the morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Oh, mercy, no kidding. It's a bumper crop. Holy cow. Just to give you an idea. Let's see. I posted some of the things that struck me as being particularly moranic over during the day's news posting at headonradionetwork.com. Let's see. This one jumped out. Grab me. Wait a minute. Gotta find it. Yeah, there it is. And don't blame me for how the news story's written. It comes from Agence France-Presse. Several dozen radical Jews gathered Monday at the Jerusalem site known as the Cenacle. That's not cynical, that's the Cenacle, C-E-N-A-C-L-E, to protest against Christian pilgrims praying there for Pentecost, a police spokeswoman said. Around 30 Jewish faithful gathered to pray in the presence of right-wing Likud parliament member Moshe Feiglin. Now, what the heck is a cenacle? It sounds like something on the bottom of the ocean with a cephalopod or something. No, it's a building up on Mount Zion. And, you know, there's so many Mount Zions in West Virginia, I forget that there is a real one. Some of my ancestors are buried just out the road at Mount Zion Methodist Church. There's a Mount Zion Baptist Church. And Zion Ridge, and then there's Utah. But never mind, there's a real Mount Zion. And it's got a building on top of it, of two stories in construction. The Christians consider the second story holy. The Jews consider the first story holy. And the Christians consider it to be the upper room where Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian and day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi had his last meal, whereas the Jews consider the first floor to be sacred and they've considered it to be sacred since the 12th century of the Common Era. Since then, they've decided that that's where the tomb of David is. Now, considering when David lived, if indeed David was actually real, and there's no guarantee of that, why it took them till the 12th century of the Common Era to figure out that they... Now we looked everywhere else. How about here? He's probably there. Now, they've never done any excavations. Who knows if there's even anything buried under there? Although we won't be saying that about, as it turns out, London in a few centuries. Did you catch that?
We interrupt this moranity with a little more other moranity. Real estate prices have become so high in London that people who are excavating basements and sub-basements on buildings that they then plan to turn around and flip for several millions of pounds, because there is a real estate bubble going on in London like unto the tulip bubble of Holland in centuries past. And when that thing pops, it's going to be a mess. Well, if you're going to go rooting around in the dirt, you got to have some earth-moving equipment. And by the time you're done digging the sub-basement down into, you know, positively pre-Roman eras of ancient Britain, well, it's a booger to get the excavator machine, you know, the big shovel diggy thing, out. It apparently costs a good bit of money to have the thing hauled out of the gigantic hole you've just dug. This is what you call a problem of the 1%. What to do, what to do, what to do. I mean, here you are looking at a building that you're going to flip for God only knows how many millions of pounds. And if you go and get somebody to haul out this rather, well, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 pound by monetary, not weight, hunk of machinery, well, that's just less money you're going to make. So what's the solution? Well, experts in the construction business in the London area say that somewhere between 500 and 1,000 earth-moving excavating pieces have already been buried. Yeah, no kidding. So they got no idea what's buried under the cenacle, but under a whole bunch of 1% land real estate boom properties in London, there's a perfectly good, made of finite natural resources, you know, steel, stuff like that, probably with full tanks of diesel. That'll be nice. Earth-moving equipment. What they do is they pour in a bunch of sand and gravel on top of it and pack it down and wedge it real nice and tight, and then they pour a pad of concrete on top of it, and that's the sub-basement. And then they build the sub-basement, and then they build the basement, and then they build the multi-million pound thing that they're hoping to flip on the bubble market. Brilliant! File this in conspicuous consumption, would you? They're not even interested in bringing it out of the hole and putting it on the resale market. They're not even interested in bringing it out of the hole and maybe donating it for transshipment to some faraway country desperately in need of machinery to help build infrastructure. You know, these things can dig trenches for fresh water lines and things like that, but no, actually not. No, we're going to bury the bugger. I mean, after all, it would probably take every bit of 0.1% off the sale price of our property. And who would want to deal with that? It's not even worth writing off on. Well, actually, we can. We can write it off on our taxes. Cost of one earth-moving machine, bury it. In the deep bosom of the earth, bury it. Just like Shakespeare. Aren't we clever? But no, getting back to Jerusalem and the cenacle. So nobody knows what's under the cenacle, but somewhere in the 12th century of the Common Era, some folks decided, you know who's down there? David's down there. Mm-hmm. With all his frisbees and wheat checks and concubines and God knows what, and maybe the lost Ark of the Covenant, David. So, because apparently it's not enough to have the first floor, you got to bitch about it. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You share a building, you know, the people on the second floor are never happy with the people on the first. People on the first floor always resent the people on the second floor stomping around at all hours of the night. So while the Christians were celebrating Pentecost in the upper room, in the lower room, you had a bunch of folks who are described in this news article as radical Jews,
singing and dancing on the first floor. Because? Well, because they object to having Christians anywhere about something that they deem to be holy. I mentioned this in the course of Moran Monday, only because needling the Christians has always worked out so well. Hey, guys, you know how the Christians profess to be lovers of peace? And how they say that their religion is one of peace, and they follow an avatar who is the Prince of Peace, and he said things like, love thy neighbor as thyself, and turn the other cheek, and all that stuff. Hey, guys, they don't believe that worth a damn. They've been killing y'all for 2,000 years. And you've decided to needle them over there having the upstairs room while you got the bottom? This will work out well. Yeah, I guess they're, in part, they're pissed off because Pope Frank went there on his recent Middle East trip and celebrated a mass at the Cenacle. Now, understand, the Cenacle is no more likely to be the upper room where Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, held his last meal than it is likely that, you know, David's buried under the first floor. This is part of a long con that's been going on since Constantine got tired of dealing with his meddling mother, Helena, and sent her off to the, hey, Mom, why don't you go find the true cross, seeing how we've made Christianity the official religion and everything. Maybe you can get the receipt for the Last Supper, huh? Don't hurry back, Mom. It might take a little while. I mean, you're going to have to go find the manger where he was born and the stable and everything, and then you're going to have to go and find where they put the body, and you're going to have to visit Golgotha, and you're going to have to figure out which streets. Mom, it's going to take, I swear, Mom, it's going to take a long time. No hurry. All the money you need, Mom. I'm Emperor of Rome. No, Mom. Don't wait. Time and tide waits for no religious pilgrim, even if you are the very first one. Stand not on the order of your going, Mom, but go at once. So, you know, it is, of course, all BS. But nonetheless, some morons decided to poke the ever bloodthirsty Christians with a sharp stick, and I'm sure it will work out very nicely. Jesus. Oh, and then this special political nomination for Moran Monday, going out to Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott and Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Both of whom should probably be fitted for straitjackets and put in nice soft-walled rooms and given purple crayons with which to write on the walls with their toes, between their toes. The crayons will do the actual. Yeah, you get it. Yeah. They had a little get-together. It was Tony Abbott's first official visit to Canada. And a little photo opportunity on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. It was today. Mm-hmm. Just charming. And they found something they can agree on. Now, let's see. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, which I wish our good Canadian friends in the Horn Family Commune would do something about. Harper said, it's not that we don't seek to deal with climate change. but we seek to deal with it in a way that will protect and enhance our ability to create jobs and growth and not destroy jobs and growth in our country. Apparently, in Canada, y'all don't say jobs. J-A-W-W-W-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. Jobs. Because down here in Appalachia, when you say jobs, everybody has to get on their knees and fall on their faces and worship whoever it is that's talking about the jobs. Well, apparently this whole bury the excavator in a hole thing, which will admittedly be interesting for the sentient race of 6-foot-tall cockroaches who are going to take this planet when we're done ruining it for human life. You know, it'll be a couple. It may be 10, 15 million years, but I mean, they'll be down there in the bottom in all their glory. I can't wait. I don't know how I'm going to feel about being reincarnated as a 6-foot-tall sentient cockroach, but I bet I'll type faster than I do now. So, Stephen Harper went on and said, frankly, every single country in the world, this is their position. No country is going to undertake actions on climate change. No matter what they say, no country is going to take actions that are going to deliberately destroy jobs and growth in their country. We're just a little more frank about that. But that is the approach that every country is seeking. then Tony Abbott, who doesn't like and still wants to be made a commander of the British Empire or the possessor of the Royal Garter Belt or something like it, one of those stupid titles from an anachronistic bygone age, said, climate change is a significant problem. It's not the only or even the most important problem that the world faces. We should do what we reasonably can to limit emissions and avoid climate change, man-made climate change, but we shouldn't clobber the economy. I remember a very, very long time ago now, it would seem, back when John Fox was doing his own program, All Foxed Up. And he got damnably frustrated with a story like this one evening. And you know, somewhere there may even be a clip of it still in existence. I'm not sure. But he caught some blithering idiot babbling about the economy and climate change and how he had to protect the economy. And bless his heart, I remember John, and John doesn't do screaming fits a lot. But I maybe it stays in my memory because it was so rare. Because John came near to hooting like a barn owl. And he hollered, I forget if it was jackasses or morons or idiots or no planet, no economy. No planet, no business. How hard is this for you to figure out? And well, there it is for Moran Monday. Headline, Canada, Australia, PM say economy trumps climate change. No tequila, no swirly straw. Hell, not even a bottle of creme de menthe around here. But really, how can you, anybody, the sharpest economic knives in the drawer, please explain to me how the economy works on a planet where humans can no longer exist. I think it's pretty well established that I love Canada and I love Australia. And how did this happen? Two of my favorite English-speaking countries. And there's no sign of being shed of either of these boobs anytime in the near future, is there? Jeebus. Yeah, Lottie, you're right. In the chat room, Lottie noting, economy trumps climate change. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. That's just... Is this just some sort of right-wing code for we'll let y'all handle climate change after we've stolen all the money we possibly can and we're dead? Is this just an extension of the Bush doctrine? Yeah, who cares what history will think? We'll all be dead then. God almighty. By the way, Canada is going to miss its emissions reduction targets. But even producing less than 2% of global emissions, Canada ain't going to make it. And just to keep, I guess, just to keep the right-wingers at home happy, Tony Abbott also took a minute while in Ottawa to defend what's referred to as the Five Eyes spying program. It's a partnership for the good of the world and not simply for the benefit of its members. Sure, Tony. You betcha. Let us know when that possessor of the garter belt thing comes through, won't you? I'm not fond of nominating our president for a Moron Monday award, but this one kind of begs for it. You know, last week, President Not Sure was swanning through Western Europe, and he paid a stop in the Sceptred Realm. And for reasons that are not entirely, okay, not at all clear, I guess somebody asked him about it, because there's 100 days now remaining until the plebiscite that will determine whether or not Scotland becomes a free nation or remains inexorably linked to England and the rest of the United Kingdom. Apparently, polling is running. The people who want to stay connected to the UK, the numbers look like they're just ever so slightly ahead of the folks who would like to be a free country. And by saying free country, that is not to imply that the UK isn't free. I guess I should say an independent country. That's the better word. Independent of the UK. The folks favoring that are slightly behind the folks who are in favor of maintaining something resembling the status quo. And regardless of what one's position is on this, and I know how my sentiments run, but I don't know that that would be the right answer, because sentiment is not often is seldom the same as intellect. Hey. Anyway, somebody asked Barack Obama about it, I guess, and he responded that he thought Scotland would be better off remaining part of Great Britain, saying, from the outside, at least, it looks like things have worked pretty well. We'll leave that history alone, too. The nomination being... sometimes it's okay,
or the reason for the nomination being, sometimes it's okay to say, you know, that's really none of my business. But then he kind of couldn't say that because we've made issues like Ukraine part of our business, and we did fight a rather ugly little dust-up from 1861 to 1865 over issues of countries deciding they didn't, parts of countries deciding they didn't want to be parts, continue to be a part of another country. Which I maintain was right. That's why I say that my sentimental response is not necessarily the same thing as my intellectual response. But, for instance, let's say that somewhere down the line, another Bush gets into the White House, and they've got another stiffy for somebody that once dissed their daddy. And of course, because you remember how Tony Blair was depicted as Bush's poodle? Yeah. Well, you know, maybe if you're not a member of the coalition of the billing, you can say, no, we'll keep our Scottish sons and daughters right here at home and not send them off to die in some godforsaken hellhole like Afghanistan or Iraq, both of which have been made hellholes by this sort of adventurism. They didn't start out that way. Yeah, possible? Was that question asked of President Not Sure specifically to... And by the way, for anyone new to the program, President Not Sure is not a slur against President Obama. In one of this radio network's favorite films, Idiocracy, Joe, who goes into the future, becomes the smartest man in the entire country, and his name is President Not Sure. So the smartest man in the country, President Not Sure. And sometimes you just say, really? I mean, you could crack wise at it. Really? You're going to ask me to get into that? Pass. We'll leave it for the Scots to decide. Isn't that just nice? That seems to have been working out pretty well. Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. Thank you from Psychoticus via Twitter pointing out as to Abbott and Harper, rats do attract fleas. Well, God bless America. We seem to have started with the buffering game. Oh, timeout. Okay, we're back. We had a great big whopper of a power surge come through for reasons I don't understand, but there you have it. So anyway, 35 minutes past the hour. We've dealt with three more ends already. And God knows we've got an abundance of them.
enough to fill the evening. So where do we go? Well, and just a reminder, question coming. No, I haven't heard any thunder, not even so much as one roll. But just all of a sudden, giant power surge, and then it came back, and the internet didn't come with it, and there's rebooting involved. So let me answer a couple of questions real quick. Isaac pointing out, that's what you get, Bob. You was kissing Obama's ass and you got knocked off the air, LOL. Wow, if that qualifies as kissing, I'd hate to see kicking. Note coming in from Luda regarding Stephen Harper. You know, Bob, I seem to remember that several years back the people of Canada having a vote declaring no confidence in Stephen Harper, and then the same day his party reappointed him as head, however their parliament system works. I could be wrong in this, but I remember it happening. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. We will wait for one of the stalwart members of the Canadian arm of the Horn family commune congregation to chime in on that. Yeah, that's the one I love. Marty says, just in case you haven't noticed already, the stream's apparently died. I'm getting KPFA again. There is no reason to get KPFA on it. No. I mean, we're not even tied to that. Oy. So hopefully this will remain stable from here on out. A reminder, please, we're trying to raise $280 this evening, and get out of a hole and maybe stay out of one for the rest of the week. That would be awfully nice. There aren't any challenges on the table, but I can tell you that but for a handful of folks, it would be significantly worse over the weekend. We had help from Horst. And Bill. I'm trying to make sure I get all the names in. Bill and Robert and Sal and Horst. Otherwise, the hole would be way deeper. But it is at $280, and anybody who can help, your help is tremendously appreciated. Now, other morans? This one requires a bit of setup. Everybody knows about what happened in Las Vegas this weekend. We know now that two people, a man and a woman, shot two police officers on the way into a Walmart, then gunned down an innocent bystander, holed up in a corner of the store, and killed themselves. They were, in fact, lawful gun owners, at least until they went up and, I would argue that they were awful gun owners when they hatched the plot to go and kill the police officers and attack Wally World. They yelled something like, "The revolution begins now," or something. It has since broken that they also had been out there protecting freedom with Cluven Bundy. he who has the power to tell us about the Negro. Yeah, they were there for the Bureau of Land Management standoff. And it also turns out they were neo-Nazis, which were promptly described in some published reports as meaning that they were, and I'm not kidding, socialists. Yeah. They were described specifically as neo-Nazi socialists. Because nothing says socialist quite like shooting at the Bureau, having a standoff even with the Bureau of Land Management, who is trying to protect parcels of land that are deemed to belong to everyone via the nation. That's some... That's some Moran right there. So they are teabaggers, neo-Nazis, Cloven Bundy supporters, and to add insult to injury, Jesus, this is sickening. As Asa noted just prior to airtime, he said, do you appreciate the extra touches these two murderers added to their crime scene? I'm specifically talking about draping the two cops that they slaughtered with Gadsden flags. What a nice touch. Turning off the sarcasm. Asa says, it's truly disturbing to think that there are thousands of these mass murderers walking around. I'm willing to bet these slime were big fans of Mr. False Flag Operation himself, among other right-wing mass murderers on radio and TV. Well, yeah, you can't. That's what a lovely setup that is. And like mushrooms at toadstools after a spring rain, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the country is being purposefully imploded right now. Every major foundation of the republic is being dismantled in front of our eyes on record. NATO is in command of the entire U.S. military publicly. Homeland Security now says their mission has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or Muslim extremists, and has to do with the Tea Party, who will launch police-killing terror attacks any minute. With no evidence of that, now it's beginning. 2 + 2 = 4, even though they teach in Common Core it equals whatever they say. The borders are completely wide open. Tens of millions of people are flooding here as we speak, hundreds of thousands a month, pouring over the borders, being given driver's license in California to pull the lever to ban guns. We are in the middle of a globalist revolution against this country right now, and my gut tells me that the cold-blooded, degenerate, evil killing of two police officers and a citizen in Las Vegas yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Is absolutely staged, ladies and gentlemen.
He shoots, he scores. By the way, were you paying attention to the Eshers? Murders? You think Alex might? Well, I wondered where all the tequila was going. You think Alex might be a little bit sloshed getting behind the microphone? They all go that way sooner or later. Yes, Sandra, that is Alex Jones's music. No accounting for taste. I get it. Sandra says, I don't like Common Core either. There's elements of Common Core I don't like. The idea that somehow or another we're going to have children reading technical manuals on how to assemble an entertainment center instead of having them read The Bluest Eye to bring up something from last week by Toni Morrison. Oh, wait, The Bluest Eye is in Common Core. But Alex is slurring a little bit. But let's see. Okay, so we know it was staged. What else, Alex?
And I will document here on air how it is staged right now.
Oh, boy.
Because one way or another, the sick, twisted culture of death and of destruction porn that Hollywood sells to the narcissistic masses was responsible for manipulating the mental illness of these individuals and others, or, and this is the much more likely analysis, this was staged. There is so much proof of this being staged yesterday when I first read about it, and this morning, that my mind exploded with hundreds of data points, and quite frankly, it's conclusive. So conclusive that the team, who does an amazing job, is digging through the literally hundreds of predictions I made since the Bundy Ranch situation on air.
Okay, I'm going to stop that right here. I was rather looking forward to deconstructing it, but it seems that Appalachian Power has other ideas. This is the third power outage in less than an hour. This time the power has gone out. Wait, it came back. It came back. Hold on. Cross your fingers. Hope for the best. I have no idea why our ancient, antiquated coal-fired electric grid is having trouble this evening. I mean, there's some clouds in the sky, and but who knows? Let's have a quick look here, just to see if I'm missing something. No, nothing in there about thunderstorms. I don't know, Texas T, asking in the chat room, did the coal get wet? I'm almost afraid to continue. Yeah, you can understand why. But we will. We will. And hope for the best. Because really, we can't stand too much being knocked around here, or this is going to be an X radio network pretty quick. Okay. Ugh, yeah. Thank you, Sparky. Charge on, Bob! No, Jan, coal does not keep the lights on in West Virginia. Coal makes the lights flutter. One of these days, when we're all wind and solared up here, this will never happen again. Yeah, well. So when last we checked in with Alex Jones, he was saying that his army of stalwarts had been checking through his list of predictions for what was, bad times come soon. Dare we go back? We dare. We dare.
Sometimes more than 30 times per show. I said they're going to go into restaurants and they're going to start killing police. They're going to go into Walmarts. They're going to start shooting people. They're going to go into movie theaters. They're going to start shooting people.
Well, it kind of depends on who they are, because they are. They're going into movie theaters and shooting people. They're going into Walmarts and shooting people. They're going into schools and shooting people. They're going into movie theaters and shooting people. And the they in question are lawful gun owners. But I'm pretty sure that's not what Alex Jones is talking about.
And it's going to be blamed on the Tea Party and the, quote, super patriots. Word for word.
Damn, I was kind of hoping he was going to say word up. That would have been so funny, Alex Jones saying word up.
Within hours of this happening yesterday, it was in the news with no proof that they were right-wing Tea Party patriots.
Except for the fact that they draped their victims in Gadsden flags, told every neighbor they could find in their apartment complex what they were, and went and defended freedom with the out there in bunker out there in Bundyville.
Then today, they're now directly saying we need Homeland Security to go after anyone that criticizes the government.
Really? Who said that? I mean, I understand Alex Jones says they said it. But Jesus, don't we need to, I mean, you know, please, come on. See, Alex, it works like this. When you want to let somebody hang themselves on their own petard, you put up a recording of them saying things, like what we're doing with you now. See how it works? We need a clip or a quote or something of they saying that anybody who criticizes government is going to have Homeland Security right up their keister.
While the government has been captured by foreign banks criminally stealing tens of trillions per quarter.
Criminally stealing. Is there a form of uncriminally stealing? Oh, sure there is. Goldman Sachs. J.P. Morgan Chase. Because they're not foreign banks, see.
In banker bailout money to private megabanks, bankrupting us with Obamacare by design. You name it. Five dead, two police officers, the two supposed shooters. Isn't that convenient? Husband and wife.
Really? He's turned into Dana Carvey's church lady? Isn't that convenient?
And one wall Martian.
Wait. It's that last one, isn't it? One wall Martian. The wall Martian, to whom he refers, is an innocent human being who had simply gone into Walmart because lots of people do it. I try to avoid the place like the effing plague, but it's even impossible for me sometimes. A Walmartian, that's what an innocent bystander is, who is slaughtered in this country's ongoing paranoid, dysfunctional relationship with the bunch of freaks who are too afraid to go get a loaf of bread without a hog leg strapped on their hip or stuffed down their pants. It seems that the Taurus Arms Company, you know, like in the zodiac sign Taurus the bull, whence we get the Spanish word toro, which is not the same word as the Japanese word toro, which means some like fatty tuna or something. It seems that the Taurus Arms Company, in order to secure market presence in some niche of the gun-buying public, made a semi-automatic pistol in pink. Just about all the gun companies have pink pistols now for those really, really girly freedom protectors. I mean, some women, you know, some women are okay with a plain old blue steel or stainless handgun, but the ones who want to maintain an absolute death grip on their femininity, they go for your pink handgun. And again, we're talking about Walmart. So, dude has to go to Walmart, and maybe he's in the little woman's car, And maybe they got a gun in every car. And so he takes her her car, probably a Hummer or an Escalade or, you know, some sort of giganto behemoth, Canyon Arrow, and has to go to Wally World to get something when he realizes that he has forgotten his own gun. So upon exiting his vehicle, he takes the little woman's gun, pink and everything, and, you know, it's not like you're going to strap that on your hip because then everybody who sees your pink Taurus is going to know what a sissy man you are. So he sticks it in the waistband of his trousers. Yeah, because he's going to, you know, it's going to nestle there under the belly roll of his flab with his shirt hanging over it. So nobody's going to know that it's not that nobody's going to know he's armed. It's that nobody's going to know he's armed with a pinkly shaded handgun, his pinkly Taurus. And in the process of stuffing it down the waistband of his pants, I guess the trigger gets hung up on something. And the firearm fires and shoots him right through the penis. And the bullet then goes through the meat of his thigh and on out his leg. Because freedom. Because Wolverines! Ow! That hurts! So there's they, and then there's they. Bless his heart. I got a little inspiration when that story first broke, and it was before the full horrors of the Las Vegas stories were had reached. Well, before we had a proper understanding of just how bad it was. Hey, thanks, Sal. Sal just jumped in, as Sal does most every evening, and helped us out. Thank you very much, Sal. Now Sal needs some company. Sal's first past the post this evening, and would, I'm sure, appreciate having a friend or two in the fundraising this evening. That takes us to $275 to go this evening. In terms of fundraising. And anybody who wants to jump in is much appreciated. All right, so anyway, our heroic freedom protector who shot himself in that most embarrassingly manly of places, his penis. Well, it inspired. You know what? I don't like to laugh at the misfortune of others, but this is not the misfortune of others. This is someone being manifestly stupid and the author of his own agony. And so it was that Tony said, you know, this sounds, when I posted this on Facebook, you know, this sounds like a song sung to the, something like by the Beach Boys, which got me going, and I know, we hate it when I sing, but I have to share. Well, he's got his girlfriend's gun, and he's heading to the Wally World now. Seems he done forgot his holster like the NRA told him to get now. And with the trigger caught on his zipper, he's in a real bind now. And he'll carry that gun till he blows his tiny penis away. Okay, I won't sing anymore, but God, that yeah, you know, you have to, don't you? But when you want to talk about Moranity, it wasn't the man shoots self with it, through penis with wife's pink pistol. Tell me that isn't the name of a great punk band, Pink Pistol Penis. Yeah. Tonight at the Bowl of Guts, Pink Pistol Penis! See how it works? But in the news report, which comes from azfamily.com, which I had to check out to make sure it wasn't somebody's idea of a joke, the gun went off, the bullet hit Sito's penis, and continued through his left thigh. We're talking about Christopher Sito. It was outside, maybe it wasn't a Wally World, it was outside a grocery store near Elliott and Alma School Roads in Chandler, Arizona. The story by Catherine Holland begins, "Police are preaching firearm safety after a Chandler man accidentally shot himself in the penis with his girlfriend's little pink pistol." Notice how little is put in it, because, you know, we're gonna give dude an extra dose of humiliation, as if, you know, if the pistol's just small enough, it's not a lethal effing weapon. It's a little pink pistol, please. So we've established that it's a little pink pistol. It's not a manly pistol. I mean, it's little and pink. How much harm could it do? But you got that part, right? Police are preaching firearms safety. Now, when I think firearms safety, I'm thinking you don't really have to carry a gun to go and get a gallon of milk and some coffee and maybe a tub of ice cream. You don't. It's not necessary. Oh, but hey, look at what happened at Walmart. Well, you know, that was Alex Jones. We'll finish with him in a minute. He's going to see, this stuff doesn't really happen in America unless some false flag flying liberal NATO blue helmeted UN loving freedom stealer makes it happen. So, no, police in Chandler, Arizona are preaching firearm safety. Well, what kind of firearm safety were they preaching? Well, after Christopher Sito called 911 and was instructed on how to staunch the blood flow, no, really. Wouldn't it, after Christopher called and was instructed on how to that emergency personnel were on the way, did he not get an ambulance? It's only a flesh wound. No, Christopher Sito was taken to a local hospital and has since been released. Ms. Holland, writing the story, says it is not clear if the wound will cause him any permanent damage. Yeah. The police were not certain as well, because they said it wasn't clear if the gun's safety was engaged when it fired. I'm guessing no. Or no, but safeties being safeties, it could be that in the process of getting it past his gut and into the waistband of his pants, and he may have thumbed the safety off. Right? But be that as it may, police say Sito's experience underscores the importance of firearm safety training. Jesus. Why couldn't we just heed Johnny Cash and don't take your gun to town, son? Okay, don't take her gun to town, son. Don't take her gun to town. No, because law enforcement in Arizona respects the right of freedom protectors to protect freedom. I guess we can't call this guy a protector wood anymore. No. Now, here's what passes for, and this was actually why I posted the story. Because the lead, you know, so often, I've got this pretty well-developed eye for a buried lead. Police warn people that if they are going to carry a gun, they should always have a proper holster. A gun tucked in a waistband, something commonly seen in television shows, might look cool and seem convenient, but in reality it is inherently dangerous. Anybody? No, it was a pink gun. He was hiding it because while he was too pants-sweating scared to go to the grocery store without a firearm, he was also embarrassed that somebody might see that it was pink. Right? Why don't they, do they make baby blue guns? Maybe we could start putting them in infants' cribs since the whole purple or pink or blue banded cigar thing has kind of gone out of fashion. I don't know. But that was kind of what crawled all over me. Instead of saying, and I can't help think, really? Law enforcement is, I mean, you know, you're law enforcement, it's Arizona, you're stuck with this stuff, so you just give up on the notion of trying to convince people that it's safe to go to the damn grocery store without toting, life-ending armament. So instead, just to try to minimize cases like this, you just beg people to use a holster. Really, please, people, if you're going to carry, use a holster. It's much safer that way. The trigger guard is guarded by the holster. Things like this are unlikely to happen. Right? You can't even tell the yahoos to leave the damn guns at home. Because I'm sure that's a false flag operation, too. Right, Alex?
As the media likes to call them. Some poor person. Who knows? A witness we don't know.
Oh, he's blaming the media for calling the poor woman who got gunned down in Walmart a Walmartian.
And we have a supposed...
Well, if it's wrong for the media to do that, whoever they are, then why are you perpetuating it, Alex?
Photo with the George Soros-affiliated satire site so they can put out disinfo, wonk it.
Wait, what? Wonkat is a George Soros-affiliated site? Now, see, here we are. Scrambling to come up with $275 on an evening so that we can get the internet and the power and all of that paid. And there are these people out there just wallering in George Soros money. What do you got to do? I want to get all of this.
That convenient husband and wife and one Walmartian, as the media likes to call them. Some poor person. Who knows? A witness we don't know. And we have a supposed photo with the George Soros-affiliated satire site so they can put out disinfo, wonk it.
Hint, Alex. Wonkat is not necessarily a satire site. Just saying.
And we'll scroll down and show TV viewers that full image that's up on Infowars.com/show. Jared and Amanda Miller, the super patriots, who gunned down a couple of cops and a lady who were going to Walmart in Vegas yesterday. So they already know what happened. And
none of that whole journalism trying to dig stuff up. I mean, the internet doesn't work that way, does it? Well, not in Alex Jones's world. I say Alex Jones every time I have to say Alex Jones. I'll be hooting like a barn owl before the third hour's over. Second hour, which we're in. So is he saying that Wonkette was given advanced photo? If it's the same photo I saw at Wonkette, it's of these two neo-Nazi, Cliven Bundy supporting freedom protector would super patriots dressed up as the Joker and Harlequin. Then again, there's the picture of him, and Joe pointed it out to me on my Facebook page, the guy of the guy without his makeup, in which, as Joe points out, he looks like the bastard love child of Ted Nugent. It ain't pretty. Put the clown white back on, Jared.
CNN already knows what happens. Super patriots kill. Las Vegas shooters were racist, anti-government. You read the article, doesn't say anything about that. It says they were obsessed and dressed up like the characters from Batman, Joker, and Harley Quinn. And the
is it Harley Quinn? I thought it was H-A-R-L-E-Q-U-I-N. I thought it was Harlequin. Is this guy that stupid that he doesn't know who the archetypal character Harlequin is?
Fictional horror character that recently suffered in the stabbing of a 12-year-old girl in Wisconsin, Skinny Man.
Slender Man. I don't even know who Slender Man is, and I know it's Slender Man. This is like talk radio if it was done by the cast of Hee Haw under the influence of, like, angel dust.
You know, the people that shot governors, the people that shot John Lennon, the people that...
Wait, people? The people that shot John Lennon? John Lennon was a false flag, too? Well, hell... I'm guessing now Alex Jones was just a little baby paranoid back then. Hell, I was a pimply-faced gospel DJ that night. And I think Alex Jones is younger than me. Well, see, Asa's got a point. Okay, says Asa, I understand your reasoning when you say you don't need a gun to go to Wally World to pick up a gallon of milk. But what if you're at Wally World and the bologna sandwiches decide to attack? How are you going to protect freedom then, huh? Well, precisely, absolutely. And, frankly, how are you going to work the gun when you've had that much acid?
Sirhan that shot RFK, they all had copies of Catcher in the Rye. They were obsessed with it. I've talked to the detectives, the police officers, and family members of some of the people I just named. And I'm not allowed to say any more at that point.
West Edith, huh?
Okay. Was Sirhan carrying a copy of Catcher in the Rye? Just like Mark David Chapman? Was he? But, you know, I'm not allowed. If I told you, I'd have to kill you right here through the radio because I've got the magic word. Because we've chipped all you InfoWars listeners, and all I have to say is a single word, and you'll all die. Because it's a prison planet.
Wait. But the FBI came in and told him to shut up, and basically told him, you know, if you don't want to be dead, don't investigate this. Even the LAPD's...
Apart from us, we who are deconstructing this, who listens to this? I mean, is critical thinking just dead in this country? Jeremy pointing out, I don't know how many more staged shooting claims I can take. And to wrap it in Common Core, duct tape and huge tennis ball time. Yes, Marty, yes, he did. He called Wonkette a satire site. You know, just like the Onion.
report said that Sirhan Sirhan, who was clearly drugged, did not shoot Robert F. Kennedy. The point is, people say, why do they have a book? Because that's the template with the electroshock, 6 months of audio recordings, the drugs, all of it. And they're using, and I've been saying this before it ever happened, with Aurora and now four other incidents, that they're using the Joker as a programming template in mind control. And we know that Holmes of Aurora was under mind control, told police that, witnesses saw other shooters, he was drugged up in the park.
Wait! This was supposed to be a grand expose on how the Las Vegas Wally World shooting was a false flag operation, and suddenly we're talking about Sirhan Sirhan and the guy, and he told people he was under government mind control. Well, yeah, because he was out of his ever-loving mind. Well, see, that just proves that this is a mental health problem, not a gun problem. No! It proves that if you want to own a firearm in this country, you should pass at least an annual psychological screening. You know, maybe it can be a one-question screening. Are you under government mind control? I sure am. Not sorry, give me the gun. No, I'm not. I am being controlled by the aliens from the planet Norblap 12. Okay, he's still got to give us the gun.
You know, like Sirhan Sirhan wasn't even part of the shooting. Was under high-level Air Force psychiatric care in a above top secret DARPA mind control program.
Notice how he tries to reinforce his point by yelling a little louder. I bet if this guy goes to, say, Moscow, no, I'd never go to Moscow. I bet if this guy goes to, no, he wouldn't go there either. Let's say, no, he wouldn't go there either. Libertarian paradise. Let's say this guy let's say Alex Jones goes to visit Somalia. Do you think he yells English louder at the locals, thinking that then they'll understand him? Because it's the same tactic. He was under DARPA mind control!
Denver Post, ladies and gentlemen, that he was in a super advanced DARPA secret program being given $97,000 a year by DARPA. His dad, top mathematician in super equations.
Super equations.
Theodore Kazan.
Now, Dad, hold on just a damn minute. We got some folks who are pretty well familiar with the higher operations of mathematics. Let me just pop over into the chat room for a minute. Sparky has posted the BS meter in the chat room. It's pegged out over at Man... It's gone past put on boots and put on life vest all the way over into man the lifeboat. Just checking here. So what I want to know is some of the higher level mathematical operations types in the chat room or in the Horn Family Commune congregation generally. Anybody want to explain to me what is a super equation? Because apparently Alex Jones thinks that if he puts the word super in front of it, that it makes it super duper. I don't. Okay, waiting here. Texas T says, I know, Bob, my folks here in Texas Stan would swallow super equations. I was schooled in super equations, beyond top secret. What is there beyond top secret? Top secret? No, really, we're not kidding? Lottie, if there's a normal definition for a super equation, I'd like to know it. Oh,
okay. Well, thank you. Stockton Leary noting super equations are banned from the Common Core. Maybe to dig it. We'll just wait here for the definition of a super equation. I'm kind of proud of that. Top secret. No, really, we're not kidding. Okay, thank you, Todd. I think that's an equation that Daffy Duck does when he wears his super cape. Duck Dodgers in the...
Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Yeah, you know when Marvin Martian says, I plant this flag in the name of Mars. Well, that's a false flag. Oh, dear. Thank you, Lottie. And I thought that. Okay, Horst noting super equation is just a common corruption of hyper equation, whereas Lottie notes it's the equation after it's stepped out of a nearby phone booth. I'll save you! The fucker's a millionaire. He is a millionaire! Because there is some several tens of thousands of people in this country. Yeah, Marvelline, he's telling the truth. Yeah, like I said, until I saw the Gun Family sticker the other day in Beckley, one of my favorites around here was the rusted-out old pickup truck that had one decal in one corner of the rear windshield that said Friend of Coal, and the other one, the other corner had InfoWars. And you wonder why Mitch McConnell can get away with saying things like, a vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who says coal makes you sick.
Zinsky, the Unabomber, L.A. Times, was CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, for 18 years in MK Ultra. MK Ultra. MK Naomi. Now, let's be clear.
What about Naomi? Inside joke. Anybody gets it? Let me know.
The programming is now so powerful, they don't even need to get you in a laboratory now with the chemicals in the food, the water, the culture, the flicker rate, hypnotizing people. You've seen the TV shows that have been documented by Scotland Yard. We've shown clips of, I forget the name of it, Jacobson will run here and tell me the name in a minute, he's a big viewer of it, where they're able to brainwash people off the street to be able to go and believe they're committing an assassination in 1 hour. Now, they do it because they talk to 100...
1 hour assassinizing? Is there also spot treatment?
People do tests and find who is more suggestible out of 100 people. That's what the government does.
If they do this, why? I mean, I do not advocate violence. I don't believe in violence. I am nonviolent. But if the government can, I mean, this is like why psychics don't win the lottery. This is like why faith healers don't go to the hospitals. If the government can do all this, why is Alex Jones still breathing? God, he makes a mockery of places where real suppression takes place. A bunch of religious types in Eritrea, in an act of actual heroism, for all the fun we have with religion, sometimes they actually follow their calling and do something right. A bunch of bishops or something in Eritrea have published an open letter inside that country, which is brutally authoritarian. And in that letter, they call for
The brutal authoritarian government there, to cease and desist in the suppression of free speech because of what it's doing in terms of driving the best and brightest out of the country. Yeah, it was four Eritrean bishops wrote, "There is no reason to search for a country of honey if you are in one. Our youth are leaving in search of peaceful countries to countries of justice, of work, where one expresses himself loudly, a country where one works and earns." These are four Coptic Orthodox bishops. Eritrea, under the autocratic rule of President Isaias Afewerki, has become the nation ranked as worst in the world for press freedom. This according to Reporters Without Borders. And there really is a flood of youth doing anything they can to leave and find a peaceful country where, for instance, conscription is not open-ended. The four Coptic bishops said, "On top of the crisis of people leaving their country, the family unit is fragmented because members are scattered in national service, army, rehabilitation centers, prisons. Aged parents are left with no one to care for them and have been spiritually damaged, and all of that combined is making the country desolate." These men, and yeah, it's men. That issue's still there. These men run the risk of being killed or imprisoned for daring to speak truth to power in Eritrea, in their country. They said, "All those who are arrested should first be handled humanely and sympathetically, and then, based on the accusations against them, they should be presented to a court." Meanwhile, this miserable freak Alex Jones is making stuff up. Out of whole cloth, when in fact, if it was real, well, he wouldn't be behind the mic making millions of dollars every year. Then there's the ongoing resistance to the coup, the military coup in Thailand, where at tremendous risk to themselves, Thai young people have begun to protest the crackdown on civil liberties there by giving, oh my God, you can tell when something becomes part of the culture when it travels all the way across the Pacific Ocean to become part of real civil rights protest in another country. They're giving the Hunger Games three-fingered salutes, and that's not a joke. That's not a euphemism for they're flipping the bird at the soldiers. They're giving the three-fingered salute from the Hunger Games movies, and they are being hauled off to prison for it. And Alex Jones babbles on.
Get university students into DARPA and Air Force programs. They've got handlers. Top Air Force psychiatrists, you name it, in the case of Aurora. This is on record. And then they just roll them out, ladies and gentlemen, usually just to be drugged up and take the fall and not know if they did it or not. Folks, they could take the strongest person. The North Koreans were able to do this. The North Vietnamese were able to do it with U.S. soldiers.
Did they do it with John McCain? Just asking. Kind of would make sense.
They could take a Marine Corps colonel and in a month have them saying whatever they wanted, folks, and believing it. They take some college kid with a high IQ and Asperger's, one of their favorite programmable types, because they're so machine-like, and they can have them doing whatever they want in a matter of days. Now, Harry Reid comes out and says, we're going to do something about this. These are domestic terrorists at the Bundy Ranch.
Oh, we're finally going to get back to it. I was beginning to lose hope. So apparently, these two meth head neo-Nazis who were not socialists, freedom protector wood super patriots from out toward Bundyville, who murdered two police officers in cold blood, covered their bodies in goddamn teabagger Gadsden flags, then shot a Walmart shopper, and then holed up in the corner and saved the people of Nevada the cost of a trial. They were, what, high IQ Asperger's types because they're so mechanical and programmable?
Alex, you're going to love the purple crayon. But no, I heard Harry Reid, so it's Nevada, Harry Reid.
Asperger's, okay. One of their favorite programmable types. Because they're so machine-like, and they can have them doing whatever they want in a matter of days. Now.
What is this? I mean, okay, occasionally I'll get so wrought up I'll slap the table here. But what is this thing where you, like somebody's knocking on the door when you're doing talk radio now? The Flimball did it. Yeah, in the midst of burping into the microphone and such other professional broadcast techniques. Tapping, you know, take the shoe off and go full Khrushchev, Alex. Why don't you?
Harry Reid comes out and says, we're going to do something about this. These are domestic terrorists at the Bundy Ranch. Everybody needs to be arrested. They roll out last week.
Okay, he did say they're terrorists, and then he clarified that he had not said tourists. I don't recall him saying that everybody needs to be arrested, but just say it.
The Domestic Terrorism Task Force saying the Tea Party's the number one enemy. I told you they've been building...
Told you! Remember that last week? I told you there'd be a right-wing hissy. In fact, Dave Nywert, our buddy down there at the Southern Poverty Law Center, documented it, and here it is. We need a domestic terrorism task force because we have domestic terrorists. And I'm just going to throw this out there for consideration, just for the fun of it. If these two folks had been not in whiteface, but had actually been persons of color, Alex Jones would be talking about how they were secret Muslims. And had been trained in the MK Ultra camp in deepest Afghanistan. I remember the time we were in Afghanistan. We had lost our corkscrew. We were forced to live for 2 weeks on nothing but food and water. Never mind. Eric Holder. Okay, so we got Harry Reid. We got Eric Holder. Do we get the trifecta?
This behind the scenes, now they're rolling it out. They're releasing terrorists saying, you know, well, they have yoga classes. We'll release them. That's in the New York Post. They're saying speech is connected to this. We need to shut down speech. And they're rolling out all this internet censorship and internet IDs this month. The current issue of our magazine just came out today.
Oh, time to sell something.
Death of the Internet is the title. They're making their move on every front right now to demonize their opposition because of Benghazi, the false flag, Fast and Furious. Listen, if they...
Now you're telling them to listen? We're 9 minutes and 21 seconds in, Alex.
They would ship more than 20,000 guns to Mexico, to criminal cartels, to then trace them back to crime in the U.S., to blame every gun owner, that's 170 million people, out of 315 million. If they would frame more than half this country for the crime in Mexico and say it's your fault.
Okay. Tweet coming in from Jason. You know, you could undo this idiot's program every day. Jason, I don't think I could stand it. Hey, how did we get to the halfway point in the program so quickly? Thanks going out to Tony, who just took us to $255 to go. $255 to go in fundraising this evening. It is doable. And many thanks to Tony. Oh, God, please make it end. Please. Okay, there's only a couple of more minutes left of him. I got to hear the blow off. I got to hear it all tied together. I mean, you got Eric Holder, you got Harry Reid, trifecta. Come on.
Thousands of dead in Mexico, hundreds in the U.S., including at least 7 police officers, Border Patrol. Would they stage this now? And the answer is absolutely. If they would use al-Qaeda to attack Syria, Libya, Egypt, all these other countries and give them weapons, would they do this now? Would they stage chemical attacks and get caught 3 times this year? Even the UN admits it? Yes. If they would stage al-Qaeda attacks, if they would do all of this, would they do this to get our guns and blame the Tea Party that's sweeping in every runoff election and every primary right now?
Except they're not. That wasn't exactly a sweep in Kentucky.
If a woodchuck could chuck wood, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck? Details are in this month's magazine.
Defeating, in almost every case, 90%+ of Republican incumbents are going down. 1776 is happening peacefully through the system. They want to start a civil war with the police.
They. I'm going to be really disappointed if we don't make the trifecta here.
They want to march. Their operatives, their globalists, it may have even been cutouts who were told, you're part of a drill, come to this pizza place. This is a lot of times how they do it. Like the Tsarnaev brothers, one of them admitted CIA, that's mainstream news, in CIA-funded programs with fake names, the Russians blew his cover. And I kept telling you, they're getting ready to false flag, and it happens right in Harry Reid's district, right in his state, right in his city, with his police department. Now, the cops look shell-shocked. I don't think they're in on it.
No, they weren't looking shell-shocked, Alex. They were dead and covered in a teabagger Gadsden flag into the bargain. Savage. Oh, Jesus.
So I'd say this is a nice stopping place for a little break for the moment. Oh, God. Alan the trucker noting, one of the ways that the government is poisoning us, according to Alex Jones, is by the chemicals in plastics. I believe there are chemicals in plastics and try to stay away from them, yet I do not believe it is a conspiracy to purposely poison me, yet it is typical corporate fascist greed. Bing, 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 bing. Remember that Holmesian doctrine that the simplest answer, that after you've eliminated the impossible, whatever is left, no matter how strange, is the likely answer. And then the idea that the simplest answer is most often the correct one. The simple answer is that there are poisons in plastics because it was easy to make money that way. That nobody was really thinking about the poisons, but, you know, why not? I mean, because money. I don't need a giant conspiracy. I'm sure the bomb train's exploding. Are a false flag operation for Alex Jones, too. But the simpler answer is that that shit is poison, it's highly volatile, it shouldn't be shipped by rail, and they're doing it anyway because money. I, I would. The story out of, what was it, Chandler, Arizona, I would love to explain how it was a false flag operation for that guy to shoot himself in the penis. But I guess we'll have to wait. $255 to go in the fundraising goal this evening. Thanks to everyone who's helped so far. And hopefully you'll get some company soon. This is Conversation Radio. The conversation part starts whenever you want to. 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178 is the number to call. I'm still trying to figure out how and when and how much it's going to cost to fix the phone processor. Oh, well. You know, when Alex Jones's phone processor goes out, he screams false flag, pitches a couple of dumbass videos on his website, and, you know, they buy three just in case the first two turn out to be bad. Oh, well. We don't operate like that. So, stand by. Break time. We'll be back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. some bumpers are just sort of self-cueing. The Clash from London Calling and Lost in the Supermarket. I've just been informed that it is Kath of Todd and Kath. It's Kath's birthday today. So happy birthday, Kath, and many, 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 many happy returns. It's wonderful to have you in the community. And speaking of community, we have got a Jim Dandy. We got a Jim Dandy gang going in the chat room this evening for this More End Monday broadcast. If you've never been to the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, this would be a lovely opportunity for you to experience it at its very best. Good evening, Bean. Good evening, Devin, Jan, John, Kathy. Good evening, Mr. Gibson. Howdy, Psychoticus, Robin, Iowa. Howdy, Stockton, Larry, Texas T, Todd, Will from Chicago, and, of course, super moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Yeah, if you've never been there, it's easy. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Jump right in. Do please. Ah, thanks. Thanks very much, Jason. Jason personally has just taken the fundraising down to merely $200. This can be done. We can do it. It's just $200 now. Thank you very, very much. 20 folks, 10 bucks a piece. Do it 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 40 at 5. Hey, look, there went the electricity again. And it's back. This is getting old. I'd like to know why it's going on. But just the same. Tell you what. Let's go to the Skype line. I'll bet you this is Bill. Hey, Bill.
You've got that right.
Yep, I got you. What's happening?
A lot. Now, you have me going tonight. You have me thinking, you know, as old as I am, what I read and learned and what was actually going on when I was a kid, take a guy like Joe McCarthy and correspond him with Alex Jones. McCarthy was nuts enough, but...
Alex Jones has a little bit of Art Bell, a little bit of Limbaugh, a little bit of Beck, and a little bit of McCarthy, and a little bit of Father Coughlin.
Oh, yeah, Father Coughlin. He was a Roosevelt supporter to a point, and then he dropped off the face of the earth. But, you know, you begin to wonder, is our society slipping so much that the second batch of people you named, really, if they can buy that stuff, don't buy anything. I should start... I wish I had dogs again. I could package up the product and find something to tell me use it for if I make a lot of money. These people are just ridiculous, and they can buy what's coming out of that man's mouth. Oh, Jesus, it's nuts.
Well, see what happens, Bill? Honest to God.
Yep.
I cannot believe, but then again, I felt this way about Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, for a long time, too. I can't believe there are that many millions of people in this country who are that gullible to listen to this stuff and say, oh, yeah, he's got it. He nailed it on the dismount. But apparently there are.
Yep.
And they live... to go and buy goofy here is a serious question. To a certain extent, does this flow out of the Kennedy assassination? Do you know why I ask, Bill?
What?
Well, I mean, I ask this seriously. Given the lies that we were who knows if they're lies? But given the mucked up job that was done investigating the John Kennedy, the JFK assassination, given the lies that were then told to get us to escalate the war in Vietnam, given the lies that were told to get us out of Vietnam. Remember Richard Nixon and his "I have a secret plan, but I won't tell you unless you elect me." Given the lies and the skullduggery committed by the Nixon administration, given Iran-Contra...
I'm turning the stand down. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Too many years of standing in front of a band, Bob. It destroys you.
Yeah, I get it.
Your ability to hear anything.
Well, what I'm asking is...
Turn the air conditioning off. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm asking, Bill, is has this country been rendered susceptible to paranoid theories rather than facts because of the number of times that people in government have been caught doing the dirty?
Yep, that has a truth to it. I mean, there's a what was the United States ship that was attacked during
the Liberty?
The Liberty, the U.S. I mean, and that looks terrible. It looks like paranoia until you find out it was true. Stuff does happen, but to pin these two people that did the shooting, they sound like they were out and out whack jobs to me.
Oh no, let's not say that. Now they may have been meth heads, but they were lawful gun owners. They got their firearms legally. They did not possess them illegally. And
that part's true. You're right, but their reasoning. I mean,
the reason
three criminals that shot the cops. There was some guy with a police record a mile long for all kind of petty, violent actions. You know, but these two people. What do we know about them? What the hell were they really? Except maybe just plain nuts.
No. I mean, we got to stop saying they were crazy because they were sane.
Well, their activity was pretty much off the.
Yeah, it's criminal activity, but when we say that they were nuts, we're saying that we excuse this conduct.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it could be, you know, because they're criminals. Once you gun anybody down, you're a criminal. But what? I mean, these people usually side with the law and order crowd. You know, the fascists.
Well, no, not anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah, they've reached that stage. Oh, boy.
Yeah, no. I mean, remember, when they started shooting, they yelled, "The revolution is here," or "The revolution starts now." And there's, and you know, I had Alex Jones right there saying, you know, this is 1776. 1776 is short for revolution, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not fair, especially to the victims. It is not fair to simply say that they were crazy because they made a plan, they carried out the plan, they executed the plan, they succeeded with their plan. You know, if somebody is deranged, somewhere along the way they're going to stop and you know, listen to the broadcast coming in from Norblap 12 to make sure they've got it right. These were not crazy people. These were people who have been militarized by the right wing hate machine, by the Alex Joneses, by the Glenn Becks, by the Rush Limbaughs, by the Hannitys. You know, Hannity turned Cliven Bundy into a hero, which drew these two people like a magnet to him, and they turned out to be cop killers.
Yeah.
Now, we have a cop problem in this country, but it is not solved by shooting the cops.
See, you remember, Bob, that when I was... during the anti-war days, we were considered to be criminals by a lot of folks, and yet we took very little. There was very little criminal activity or shootings by anti-Vietnam people, anti-war people. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's where the difference lies to me. Is
well, yeah,
they got to act out all this stuff. It's what I always said about the Waco situation. Why the hell didn't they just pick the man up off the street quietly and lead him away here, put this jacket on backwards here, and come with us? And instead, they ended up involving them, a whole bunch of people that were being led by an off-the-mark human being, and, you know, the damages were terrible.
Well, there was a
time and a place.
There was another story that sort of got overshadowed this weekend that had real more in Monday potential, Bill,
and that is that over near Parkersburg, West Virginia, 40 or 50 Klansmen got together in the last month or so to discuss the coming race war and revolution in America.
These
are fringe groups, okay? There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
But they're getting a little less fringy. And for instance,
yeah,
they're
coming out in the open more and getting away with it.
At this particular Klan meeting held at some county park or city park or something, they drew Klansmen and their families from four states, and they talked about how they were going to recruit younger members. Because at first, if you look at the if you look at the photos of these idiots, these dangerous, gunned up, homicidal idiots, they're not crazy, they're idiots. It looks like they would be incapable. And it was our buddy Benny who called this to my attention. I think they look like in the photographs they look like they would be incapable of mounting an assault on a salad bar. It doesn't take a lot of prowess to aim a weapon and squeeze the trigger.
Oh yeah, that's very, very true. Believe me, I had to sit down and read and begin to learn that this is the last thing you wanted to ever do. It was not any proof of anything. It was just, if you're alone in the middle of nowhere, which was what I was a lot, or any of us who worked late and the car breaks down in areas of high crime, well, stuff can happen if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so it did happen. It was constantly. Hell, there was two guys in an east suburban area. Two friends got into a drunken fight. One guy hits the ground, hits his head. His buddy takes him home. In the middle of the night, the guy that got hit died of a concussion. So here's two drunk friends, two guys who know each other, getting into a silly-ass argument. And, you know, one smacks the other one, and away we go. But for these people to pull it, I mean, for these guys, if you're a right-winger, the guys in the blue uniform are they stand with the power structure, you know, on paper. This is what, and to go after them is like, they sound like left-wingers, but they definitely were not. They weren't socialists or, you know.
No, but that didn't stop the right-wing media from trying to portray them as such. They were described as neo-Nazi socialists.
Neo-Nazi socialist. That's a pretty good, that's an off-the-wall combination there, ain't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's got to be a little cognitive dissonance involved to hold both of those concepts together at one time now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's when I talk to people about Hitler and the Munich, the beer hall thing. Who's standing next to him? Erich von Ludendorff, who was one of the highest-ranking German army officers in World War I. And here he is attempting to take over the government, standing next to a man who was, would you say Adolf was a little bit of a whack job when you push hard enough,
Mm-hmm.
By the standards of the rest of by the standards of humanity, I'd say the guy's whacked out. And here's some ranking army man from the disciplined German military, with a highly disciplined, click-your-heels bunch, standing next to a guy who's a complete God only knows, you know?
Yeah, but this is not that. This is not that. The similarity ends with the word neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
Because these people have been radicalized and, as I said, militarized by a right-wing hate media whose purpose is to do exactly that. Now that I don't need to holler MK Ultra or anything else for that to be true, because all you got to do is turn on Fox News Radio Rwanda and it's there.
the Kingston Trio did a song one time. It started out there rioting in Africa. There's stuff in Europe. There was, you know, political stuff going on. And when the guy got to the turnaround in the chorus, he got to a point where he's saying, and I don't like anybody very much. Yeah, satiric, you know. Because yeah. This is what this seems it builds. This kind of stuff can build, Bob. That's what makes it so, you know. I know I'm standing near the exit, and sometimes that's a bad place to be. We just had a situation here in the west side of Cleveland where a bunch of kids from were going down to listen to the new wave bands. These kids were all carrying weapons and staging a gang type situation. I said, "What is this? 1955?" I mean, I saw this once, Bob, you know, this youth gang stuff. I saw all that stuff in the 1950s.
Well, what we've got now is going to be even more than that. I mean, with the youth gang stuff that you saw, at least Rodgers and Hammerstein or Rodgers and Hart or whoever could craft West Side Story out of it and have the Jets and the Sharks going at each other.
Yep.
This is a different thing. I mean, And the thing is, this stuff will prey on your mind. I'm not kidding. I was rereading one of my favorite modern science fiction novels, a book called 13 by Richard K. Morgan, and he makes reference to the character having a Steyr assault rifle. And I thought, well, that must be science fiction. It goes to show what I know about guns. I went and looked it up, and lo and behold, one of the most popular assault rifles in the world is manufactured by Steyr of Austria, whose U.S. headquarters was recently opened in Bessemer, Alabama. And this thing is a wicked-looking piece of shit. Oh, it is just. And then, you know, there's all kinds of it. You know, they got a 50 caliber rifle with a pop-out bipod for extra. You know, for extra super duper accurate shooting with your 50 caliber rifle. Did I mention it was 50 caliber?
I'm trying to remember if it was in the mountainous areas of Korea, or was it during World War II where snipers were around those 50 caliber rifles?
I don't know.
Back again.
But the thing is, just looking at this stuff, I became kind of fascinated, going, God damn, would you look at that? Oh, man. And they make pistols, too. Son of a gun. And then you start, and what I'm trying to get to here, Bill, is that it's real easy to be seduced by this mindset. Because you know what? If the Clive and Bundy types are bringing guns to Wally World, then you kind of, and you know, there was a side story there that somebody, I don't know if it worked, it may have been discounted, but that someone had tried to shoot them and got, I don't know. Maybe that turned out not to be true. You know, there were two police officers and the one woman. But there was an early report that some freedom protector had tried to do something about it and got a mess made out of him or her. Maybe that was the Walmart shop.
How far is this going to go? You've got young kids yet, and you've got grandchildren, and that makes you wonder sometimes about how long, and there's just no logic to it whatsoever. There's no real political education behind it or leanings, because if they're the right wing, generally does not. It's not usually not anti-establishment, you know.
Yeah, but this is a right wing that wants to completely overthrow the country and set up its own establishment. So
yes.
they've been told that the police forces are CIA controlled, and that, I mean, if you heard the Alex Jones clip early on, he declared that the entire security forces of the United States are under NATO command.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, of course, you give them long enough, they start talking about the blue-helmeted bugs of the UN. And what was it, during 2012, that one goober county commissioner judge said, he was ready to stand up and protect, you know, what, Lubbock or Amarillo or God knows where against the hordes of blue-helmeted Obama UN soldiers who were going to come pouring across the Rio Grande?
Oh, God. Oh. I think that's what astounds me so much is this stuff is such button-in-the-back jacket stuff. It's these people sound like they're just straight out and out. I think they have a tranquilizer heavy enough to sedate these folks.
Well, we have, Bill, we have no...
There's no logic to their political thinking whatsoever.
We have no interest and no will for stopping this so far. Moms demand action against gun violence. You know, they're doing heroic work, and they're getting their lives threatened for it.
Of course, because the man with the gun, what was the song, a man with a gun over there, or the man with the baby children, what's that song?
Yeah.
See, Bob, I've seen all this crap before, and it makes me, today when I was this
well, you've seen, and I'm not discounting anything you've seen, Bill, you've seen something like this. None of us have seen this before. This is a new thing. This is the fracturing. Oh, God, at the risk of sounding like Alex Jones, this is the fracturing of our country. The last time anything like this was seen was 1858, 1859,
1860. Yes, yes.
And I'm not saying that it's going to be the same outcome. Because it's not the same social and cultural and political and global situation.
Nope.
But until we manifest some level of national will, it's going to keep happening. And if there's any silver lining to be found whatsoever, Bill, it is that where it would have seemed that even the massacre of, you know, 20 little children in Newtown, Connecticut could not move this country, well, the open carry assholes have, to use a sports analogy, well, they've done a dance in the end zone around their corpses. And that seems to be pissing off America because, you know, we'll talk about their right to keep and bear arms, but there's a whole lot of people who are really put off by trying to eat dinner and wondering if they're going to take one behind the ear over their plate of nachos at Chili's.
Well, sure, Bob. The thing that gets me is, and this is something that me, taking the usual follow the money reasoning, is if this stuff, if this carrying of weapons in public stores starts to cut business and profits. I wouldn't be surprised if some changes are made because it's the old money talks thing, Bob.
And you know what? It's being left to the free market to decide that. So while Target is dithering, and the goddess of irony was in charge of it being Target who dithers, Chipotle and Chili's and Sonic have said no guns, and Home Depot has said, we love the guns. So, you know, you need to get, you know, the plumbing stopped up, you need a plunger, and if you want to strap a damn bazooka on to go find one at Home Depot, you're welcome to do it, even though you've got armament there that could take down the whole damn store if for some reason or another you suddenly transform.
If a guy comes in armed like that, I'd better sell him the right product or he might be back. That's what scares me.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's another question. What happens if you work at Home Depot and you look at your boss and say, I'm afraid to help any of these people because I never know when they're going to blow my freaking brains out.
Yeah, well, if it starts interfering with the making of money by corporations, you may see an end to it. Somebody step in and stop it. But I think I look at it as a way that they want to work up contention for the left side of the political ticket, the left, because by the looks of it, if I was going to put Hillary Clinton against any of the idiots that have shown up on the left, you know, that group of debaters that they had in the last election that somebody heard referred to as they arrived in the clown car. You know,
oh, no, that wasn't the left. That was the right, Bill.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the right wing. But consider this.
People are running are lousy candidates.
But consider this. Consider this for a minute, conceptually. I will submit to you that the age and both Korea and Vietnam taught this to us. And it was certainly driven home in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
The age of, for all intents and purposes, pre-Napoleonic and Napoleonic and, hell, even Greek and Roman warfare, you know, where opposing armies line up across a field and do their damnedest to kill each other, that day's gone. That day's over.
Yep.
Okay, there are going to be no more tanks sweeping across the Russian steppe. That's not going to happen anymore. We have entered the era of what we began to learn to call during the Bush administration asymmetrical warfare. We do not line up armies in the field anymore.
No.
Because it makes it damn near impossible for people who have armies in the field to cope with if you won't come out and fight a nice, gentlemanly Napoleonic war. So instead we have asymmetrical warfare, which is IEDs behind the palm trees and walls. And I would submit to you, Bill, and to the rest of the Horn Family Congregation Commune, that it is also two people who shoot cops and drape their flags or drape their bodies in teabagger Gadsden flags. It's also, you know, Alex Jones is the minister of propaganda for the right-wing revolution. He admits as much. What?
That terrible acting voice of his and his, like you said, he starts yelling at the wrong time of his,
Well, no, he starts yelling when he knows he's on shaky ground because he hopes that'll cover the shakiness.
Yep.
But all of this, Bill, is a form of asymmetrical warfare that is being waged by the right wing against normal, decent human beings in America. Now, what's
Bob? I have a bad attitude. My attitude about the war in Korea was, for whatever reason, I know Russia had walked out of the Security Council, and all of a sudden, the Security Council took a vote, and the UN stepped in on paper and did what had been everybody had been criticizing the world for not doing in the days of Hitler's incursions into, you know, Czechoslovakia and reoccupying the Rhineland and the Japanese invasion of Manchuria. Nobody said boo to them. But the UN sent a force that didn't win anything in Korea, but when they were done, the border was the same as it had been before. In other words, there was the North Koreans did not accomplish something by military action that had been done over and over again. You know, the tough guy wins, the strong guy wins, you know, that kind of situation.
Well, be it Korea or Vietnam, the brass thought that they were going to win it conventionally. You know, we sent plenty of tanks to Korea and plenty of tanks to Vietnam. Hell, we sent plenty of tanks to Iraq and Afghanistan, too. And we got, you know, the jets and helicopters and all the accoutrements of modern high-tech warfare states. But in the end, we got our asses whipped by people shooting one guy in the head and ducking behind a wall.
Yep, exactly. I mean, there was difference in, there were people here, Bob, who were trying to get us involved in the Indochina War.
Yeah, but I want to work in the present. And I want to see how this stuff, you know, are there comparisons to the present day?
Well, but people try to repeat the same crap over and over again, Bob. The power structure will repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until people get smart enough to it. Now,
how many people,
I hope they do.
How many people have been taken down with bomb-making paraphernalia since Barack Obama became president? I've read it elsewhere. I have no citation to it. It may be bullshit, but I've read it numerous times. that the Secret Service has had to deal with more threats on the life of the President of the United States under Barack Obama than under any other president before.
Because that kind of racism gets crazier and crazier and crazier as the time goes by.
So if we just...
You know, the people who are so nuts when it comes to that situation, that I don't know what the hell you do with them. There's not enough straitjackets to go around for that kind of thinking.
But it seems to me that what I have described periodically as a cold civil war, it seems to me that the other side is doing all in their power to get it to hot up. You can't tell me, for instance, that out there at that Bundy ranch, that there weren't people sitting there going, God, I hope they pull the trigger. Please let them pull the trigger. And it just happens that most of those people are entirely too pissant to be willing to do it. But then you get to, a couple of neo-Nazi meth heads, and it's game on at Wally World.
Yeah. Well, the guy I agree with so much is the guy I'm talking to now. And, you know the old caricature and the guy saying, forget hell.
Yeah.
Because, and you can forget the regionalism of this kind of thinking. It's all over the country, that kind of thinking, that this race hate and... that kind of crap just goes so deep that, well, I don't know what the hell we do about it, except I'm too old to go, I always wanted to go for reasons of my own. I thought Toronto would have been a great place to live in. For a blues player, it wouldn't have been bad either. They were acceptable of the music up there real well. But the bottom line is, now look what's happening up there, for Christ's sake. And all this bullshit talk you hear from the people about how much the Canadians hate their health care. I don't know who the hell these people were talking to, huh? But I'd be up there in a fishing lodge, and we'd be sharing boats and sitting there throwing a bowl, and most of the Canadians that I talked to, a great majority of them, seem to like their health care. In other words, they're throwing lies at people in measures that I haven't heard since God knows when. But you hit it on the nose with the Civil War. Some of these people would really like to reenact the goddamn thing.
And they know not what they know not what they yearn for, Bill.
Yeah, you and I know too much. All you have to do is be there on those fields and read enough and look at 600,000 people, Bob, out of a population of 30 million. Oh, that's a pretty large bunch of bodies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bunch of people. I just hope that we can. I don't know. The schools failing too to teach. My one history teacher buddy, he just feels they don't teach crap anymore. You know, he says they want to teach. They want to teach the Revolutionary War stuff over and over again. And my buddy's like the professor. Let's take a look at this piece of paper we call a Constitution. Because there's a who's the guy with that horrible radio voice at night. You know who I'm talking about. I can't think of his name. But he's one that they're pushing for another constitutional convention.
Oh, Mark Levin, the man with the voice made for print.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I won't keep because there's other people waiting to use it. But as I say, when these kind of people on the far right go out and shoot cops, it's like they have no... There's no logical order in that thinking because their thinking is usually the authority figure, you know, because as far as I know, the police are not revolutionaries as far as, you know, politically to the far left. Everybody's a communist to these people from Radio Rwanda, you know?
Yeah. I do.
I just say I knew the fat man when he was in Cleveland. I met him and did a commercial or two for him and Mr. Ailes. Yeah, I met the guy when he was in Cleveland. Didn't care much for him then. Don't care much for him now. But because you know when there was the head of the network. His name shows up in the World War I era of Australia. It's the family name of the man who owns that network. So I don't know I don't know which way these folks are going because this kind of stuff they pull shooting policemen and draping them with dancing flags is like totally insane. It just has no, it doesn't stand up to what the, you know, can you imagine the average right-wing Republican being anti-police? I can't buy that.
That's because these people are insurgents. Okay?
Yeah.
I called insurgency during the government shutdown.
Yeah. That was that guy that, well, he's a son of a bar owner, and if you ask a musician about bar owners, you're going to come up with some words that you don't want to hear over and over again on radio.
Yeah, from the Fool Me Once, Fool Me Twice school of Hard Knocks.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'll let you go and let somebody else. Maybe there's somebody more reasonable than me. It's not hard to find that.
You're not unreasonable. I think, Bill, we're all challenged by the idea that we're looking at something that we never thought we would ever see in our lifetimes.
Yeah. Well,
but
has become a religion to me, you know.
What the Confederates could not accomplish by force of arms, they're trying to accomplish, the neo-modern, unreconstructed Confederates are trying to accomplish by terrorism. Because terrorism is specifically defined as the attempt to achieve political goals by imposition of fear and terror. There you go.
Real insanity, Bob. Get some books on the Algerian War.
There's that brilliant film. All right, Bill, you have yourself a good evening.
You take care.
All right, bye now. 22 minutes past the hour. That's our good friend. That's our good friend, Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. And yeah, here we are, 22 minutes past the hour. Only $200 to go to get out of the hole. So any help is much appreciated help. And thank you, one and all, for what you have done and for what you continue to do to keep this little effort on the air. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's up, Bob?
Well, you know, Jim?
Okay. Yeah, what's going on, man? That's, I just caught the last part of what you were talking about.
You got to turn the radio down in the background or this is going to be impossible.
Okay. Just turn it off. I didn't catch the beginning of the show. I was doing my mom with helping. I was doing all the work. But that's what sons do for their older mothers, right?
Exactly. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. You're talking about that shooting in Vegas. The two cops and... I think I used to work at a Walmart. I don't know if that was the one I used to work at. That was like 20 years ago. But just the whole mindset. And I don't watch Fox. So I gotta go with what I hear you and Malloy and Stephanie Miller and whatever left wing stuff I can get out of it, but it's bizarre. It's like, and I think you were right when you had a kind of a slip of the tongue. You said the company, it goes back to corporate America. They don't really care. In fact, I don't think they would care in the least if there was like all out. War, because they would sell more, you know, because it's just like the NRA wanting to sell more weapons and stuff. They just seem to be a front for the gun industry.
Well, that's all they are.
Yeah. And, why have one gun when you can have three or four or five? And, damn, you got to have that semi-automatic. I mean, that stuff about the... down in Texas.
hey, you just planted the seed of a little thought in my head, Jim. Consider this. I know it's going to sound absolutely loopy, but remember, we're dealing with absolutely, well, loopy makes it sound like they're not sane, but what I'm getting, you know, they think funny. Let's put it that way. So let's say a bunch of corporations begin to see their bottom lines affected by people refusing to shop there because you never know when some freedom protector would is going to come marching in with his AR-15 strapped over his shoulder to buy a bag of diapers for his kid. All right? You with me so far?
Yeah. We always need
okay, so the bottom line begins to be hit when people say that, you know, I'm not going to shop at your store if I'm going to run the risk of some lawful gun owner turning awful and starting to chop people into pieces. So let's say then that more and more companies, corporations go the way of Sonic and Chili's and Chipotle and a few other stores and say, listen, if you want to bring guns, don't bring them here. Guns are not welcome in our stores. Still with me?
Right.
How long then before Glenn Beck or Alex Jones or pick one declares, and I could really see Tony, you know, Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins of the the Family Research Council, or maybe that proud son of Stanford, Brian Fisher at the American Family Association, declaring that corporations refusing to sell and do business with people who carry guns to their store is the mark of the beast. Because remember, in the description of the mark of the number of the beast, the mark of the beast, whatever, anybody who does not have the mark of the beast is unable to buy and sell.
Makes perfect sense to me. I mean, you know my view on the Bible. It's a bunch of BS.
Baloney, yeah.
It's just made up stories, and then, you know, it tells you one thing one time, another thing another time. And I mean, I've never read it, as I told you, and I've gotten enough of it through just hearing bits and pieces of everything from over the decades, PTL, 700 Club, you, Malloy, Tom Hartman, people, and I accept y'all's words on it, y'all's version or interpretation of it, or what it says. You know, I don't think they're lying, and then you guys are lying, and then I've seen back when I used to occasionally go to Radio Wanda, I would, they don't. Well, they just play the patriotic Jesus stuff, you know. From what I remember, it's been a couple of years since I really even watched more than a segment or two of it. And hot chicks with the hot legs, I can't even stand it anymore, you know. So they can sell those people anything, you know.
That just dawned on me during the course of our conversation, because the paranoia is that thick, and all they have to do is come up with a way to make 666 or whatever the exact quote is, and a mark on the back of the hand or the forehead. All they got to do is work that stuff in there, and man, they're on it, and they'll be preaching against Chipotle from every pulpit in fundamentalist America, not fundamentalist. Christian fundamentalists. Because remember, the guy who shot up the university in Seattle before this Las Vegas thing happened? Christian.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. Of course, I was talking with somebody. I stopped by work today, and somebody was telling me that he was supposedly a liberal. I'm like,
nah, not quite. No, he was a Christian fundamentalist.
Yeah, I can kind of consider the source. You know, and they kind of know me as kind of like the left wing atheist where I work. They amazing, I still have a job, but they, I just said, yeah, okay, if that's what you think, but I don't think so. And he said something to the effect that most of the shootings have been done by quote unquote liberals or something like that. I'm like,
oh, we have a Fox watcher.
Well, not only that, he's kind of big into the Ayn Rand point of view.
Oh, well, then it's game over.
Yeah, he's kind of into it, but he does believe, you know, 9/11 wasn't an accident, but, you know, I mean, I have no doubt that, that was some sort of stage where they let it happen situation, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, in fact, there's an executive order. There's a CIA something from 61.
Operation Northwoods?
Yeah, it relates to that, but it was something about...
The CIA wanted to stage a false flag operation and blame it on the Soviets so they could get their nuclear war on.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they were going to blame it on the Cubans and then vicariously the Soviets, if I recall correctly.
And I'll say about the nuclear war, once you start throwing nukes around, game over. I mean,
there goes the neighborhood. It's over.
It's how crazy these bastards are, and it's just like, yeah, it's just like that.
You know the saying, crazier than a shithouse roach, or a shithouse rat.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that asshole Cheney. God, what a epitome of evil. But and then Bush was just this damn ignorance. And then they're thinking about maybe running his brother again. And then, you know, like we talked about a couple of months ago.
Oh, Jebby's coming. Jebby's coming. Because Dim Leader is still tormenting him over being president and he wasn't. Because that family is so psychotically internally competitive, they give each other noogies over who goes to the bathroom first in the morning. I think it was Kitty Kelly who documented the fact that they fight with each other over croquet games.
Yeah, I would think you're right, but the weird thing is, you see George Bush Jr. Now he looks out there, you know, when he had his little painting, Dave Dabo, and it was on some of the channels. Oh, look at the ex-president. Oh, look what he's really doing. And Auntie's really saying, that looks like crap to me, but he doesn't look like he's all there. Not that he ever did, but
he's properly medicated now because he doesn't have to be trusted around the nuclear football.
I don't think he ever was. I think Cheney had that. And there's another guy who just comes out as just as slimy and evil as he can be. He just, it's one way, it's the Cheney way.
True enough, yeah. True enough, but remember, Barack Obama chewed gum at the D-Day commemoration, and that means he hates America. Did you catch that one? That was a real Lulu,
no.
Too.
No. What was that on? Was that on Fox?
All over Twitter, among other places.
I checked my Twitter site out. I haven't checked it out today, so I'll check it out. But, yeah, it's bizarre. It's like for a while I used to have that Fox. It was kind of a right wing Twitter site. I said, okay, let's just keep it on, and it just got. I couldn't look at it after a while. You know, it's too stupid for words. I can't even. And the weird thing is, I can get enough information from you and other. Leftist orators to find out what the so-called right wing is, sprouting, and with a lot less irritation, because at least you and the other one, I'm going to call you the leftist, make it entertaining and enjoyable. And on that note,
I'd be okay with being called a leftist if I could even whistle the first couple of bars of the Internationale.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Well,
I guess I am, because I damn sure refuse to be associated with the goons and goobers of the center and center right. But it seems it seems a sad commentary that to be a that some of the things that make me a leftist make me a leftist. Wanting everybody to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick makes me a leftist. Please.
Well, it's not like that. It's the privatization craze that's been going on for at least the last 20, if not 30 years. I mean, even with, you know,
I'm not ashamed to be a leftist. In fact, I think if we put me on the couch and started ticking off boxes, I'd be a lot more than a leftist.
Yeah, but I mean, even the country as it's running now, although it's less and less, there's a lot of things. It's Tom Hartman talked about it, the commons. That's actually a leftist kind of idea, where not every goddamn motherfucking thing is privatized. You know?
Free market.
You know, I mean, yeah, and how do you privatize agua?
They already have.
No, they're already. I mean, that's the next thing.
No, they already have agua, water.
Si, senor.
Yeah, that's a private company that managed to let poison flow through to the homes of 300,000 people in the heart of West Virginia.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't no socialist communist the municipally owned water supply.
You mean Fidel Castro didn't do that, or is
yeah, that sorry, no. That's not the Khrushchev Water Corporation of Kanawha County. Sorry.
But, I mean, it's happening all over. And then, what I've been noticing the last couple of months is just the climate change, where I used to live in Vegas. They're going through Vegas in California, going through a severe drought in California. Grows a lot of crops for a lot of people. Yeah, throughout the country.
Absolutely true.
And, by the way, I had a couple of tomatoes, little cherry tomatoes.
Rub it in. Rub it in, Jim. Rub it in.
They're really sweet. You don't even have to eat these for anything. They're just by themselves sweet.
Oh, I'm a right off the vine tomato guy. Just give them a little rinse. Yeah. And go for it. Eat them like an apple.
Yep, that's it. So, all right, well, I'm going to let the next caller get through. Thanks for letting me get my little rant. And I'm going to have to catch the beginning of your show. It seems like you had a nice little rant about that Las Vegas. Do you know which Walmart it happened at?
I saw the address, but I'm not sure which. No.
From that airport, the Area 51 Air Force Base.
I can't recall, but I do know that somebody commented on my Facebook page that it wasn't exactly the nicest of neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, at least they were armed for the situation. Thank Jesus for that. All right, I'm going to let you go, Buffy.
Jim, take care. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana, Stan. You know, I mentioned this talking to Jim. There really was a hissy over Barack Obama chewing gum at the D-Day commemoration. It started with in France. Peu élégant l'attitude de Monsieur Obama mâchant ostensiblement son chewing gum en pleine cérémonie. Obama avec son chewing gum, pas classe de tout. Obama, il mâche son chewing gum serein, il me fascine. And then this, Le Chewing Gum Obama Merde. Everybody knows what merde means, right? Then it gets picked up by the right-wingers here in Merca. Thank you so much, Barack Obama, for chewing gum throughout the solemn D-Day proceedings. In Singapore, that would be an offense. And then this, Obama never wants to leave a man behind. That's why he chews gum at a D-Day ceremony. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Like I've said before, if the man was caught rescuing kittens from burning trees, the right wing would be there, Alex Jones would be there to swear that he set the fire in the first place. Yeah. 19 minutes before the hour, and we find ourselves kind of stuck at $200 to raise for the remainder of the evening so that we don't start tomorrow in a $350 hole. Let's go to the phones, and Jeremy's with us from Vermont. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Bob. I'll give you a little break from the downing, depressing news, and I'll give you a little geek knowledge.
Okay.
Harley Quinn really is a Batman figure. It wasn't Harley Quinn. It's a nub to Harley Quinn, like it, or a Harlequin as in an evil jester.
Yeah, see, I thought it was I thought it was Harlequin. I didn't realize she was Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she was Harley Quinn. She's the daughter of Gotham's doctor or mayor or something like that. And the Joker either killed her mother or gave her poison, so she turned into this evil kind of yin and yang. She's the female version of him.
Okay.
Only she's painted like a jester.
The photo of those two together, they were both in the white face, and she was wearing some sort of form-fitting clothing with the four diamond sort of Harlequin thing going on, and he was done up as the Joker. And hey, who knows why people do such things? All right, okay, so you've cleared that up for me, Jeremy. You wanna help me with Slender Man?
Yes, Slender Man. I know knowledge of this, unfortunately. Slender Man goes back to before Rome and into Babylonian and what's the other culture that was before Iraq and
Sumer, Akkad.
Yeah, it goes back to all of those things. More recently, it was a Germanic tale, basically of a creature who would go grab kids, drive them into the Black Forest, and make them confess to their parents the bad things they'd done. It's from all around the world. It's not just the United States. There's references to it everywhere. Creepypasta did to kind of take these old tales and turn it into this slender, really tall, creepy-looking guy that's basically a walking skeleton, and he's more of an evil thing now. And there are people out there who claim to see this figure in their bed at night and stuff like that. It's come almost like a night terror thing. Some people would consider him a thought form. There's a thought out there that with the right intention, you can almost make some things become real.
Okay, so can you pull the threads together and explain to me what was behind this murder attempt in Wisconsin?
With the two little girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the new Slender Man, I guess basically he is more evil than he was really a good character. And these girls believe that he lived in a mansion in the woods near their house, and if they were to murder someone, they get in his good graces and basically go live with him. The creepy part is that one of the girls knew it was wrong, but she was kind of excited to see what would happen. The other girls just off her rocker. Not that they both aren't, but I guess at the pre-trial.
So is this just
week,
is this just sort of an internet meme, or is it Is it an underground comic book, or? And God, do I sound like a freaking nerd asking this? Actually, I sound like a cranky old man.
like I said, the Slender Man is definitely a nod towards other characters. They're never all is called in the Slender Man. It's kind of like the Bigfoot, the Yeti, the Yowie. It's an American name of what this creature is in this incarnation. It's the same idea. The Slender Man, unfortunately, has more of a sinister note to it than, say, like a Yeti or a Bigfoot does. It's actually evil. It's a killer. Basically, if you see the Slender Man, you're going to die.
Oh, it's Mothman.
It's kind of Mothman, kind of a Grim Reaper. Yeah, all those things wrapped together.
The Banshee.
Exactly, yes. It's basically a sign of death, yes.
Okie dokie.
And so I guess at the trial last week, the pre-trial for these little girls, one of the families, obviously the daughter who was almost stabbed to death and almost died, they were weeping, whereas another one of the little girls' families was stone-faced and didn't make a sound.
Forgive me because I do sound like a geezer. Is there an online community for it? I mean, is there an organizing principle? Is it strictly open sourced? Are people inviting and sort of inventing them as they go along? I mean,
From what I take of this character, he kind of evolves as time goes along, and he takes different twists and turns of every generation. Another thing he is like the boogeyman, basically. He's kind of like a demon for the comic book region, I guess. From all I know of him, he's more evil in this incarnation of him than he was in the past. Before, he really was more of like a teaching tool, kind of like, don't go near a van if they offer you candy. It was that kind of thing for their times.
Okay. I mean, I'm not doubting you. I'm just sort of outside the culture, I suppose. I don't like
he's really outside of the norm and into the paranormal culture. And
that's what I'm asking. Do you get into that via some other community or? I mean, you don't go from My Little Pony. You don't listen to Barbie recordings backwards and get into Slender Man, right?
Right. I think he comes from the coast-to-coast AM cultures, you know, kind of mixed truths. It's something that normal people would realize is a story. Unfortunately, some of these stories pull the triggers of these psychos who can't tell the difference or basically indifferent to right and wrong. It's one of these characters that we've left our kids to be raised by television characters or internet characters and not mindful of what they're viewing or what their thought process is. And that's kind of... That's a characteristic problem of our country and where we are nowadays, I think, is that we're so busy trying to pay the bills, keep the house, you name it, that our kids get kind of put aside as a secondary note and in some cases not really raised by their parents and more raised by the media. And even though this is kind of a satirical, fake, evil character that's been made kind of like a horror genre, people out there somehow are believing it's real.
And I guess that's where I get lost. How do you believe? I mean, we're talking about 13-year-old girls here, right?
Right. And it's hard because I've made no bones about it. I told some people in the community that I've had what I would consider no-shit paranormal experiences. You name it, I feel like it's happened to me. That doesn't mean it happens to everybody. But I think if you're in this culture, you have more of an understanding, shall you say, of it.
Or an openness to it.
Stuff.
Well, I mean, I've certainly had things happen that I can't explain. But, you know, my dedication to reason, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say somebody did not have an experience, but by the same token... Does any of this make sense? I'm not gonna challenge, but by the same token, I have to live in a world that has natural laws, because if I don't, then gravity works one day and the next day it doesn't.
And that's true, Bob.
And under those circumstances, I may as well be a Christian.
But grant me this much. Some of this stuff is based in real fact. Like, you can't control or destroy energy. Energy just changes form. So in that sense, that's where some people have a belief of some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the law of conservation of mass and energy is real.
Right. And that's where my basis comes from. It's not that I will become this electrical force and left here. I'll become carbon back into the earth. I understand that. I'm good with that. But I think this is where some of the paranormal comes from. People see some of these general Einstein, you name it, rules like that, and they feed into them and they believe in them. I know you told that story about one time. I think you said you were at some rally somewhere, and you mentioned someone maybe said some sort of a prayer.
Oh, yeah. That might still be around here on video.
It's things like that I've had happen, too. Only I've had real things happen to me which defy logic, and just I try to explain them away, but sometimes I find myself trouble doing it. But that's not to say that I believe the Slender Man stuff. I really don't. I find it more entertaining and kind of – I'm a horror genre fan, so I get it. But it isn't – it's not something real, but it was based in history as a character in what – kind of a cautionary tale towards kids and their parents. Like, don't go play in the woods. Slender Man will get you. Again, keep away from the wolves, the foxes, the rabbit animals, you name it. It was a cautionary tale to keep kids safe. Unfortunately, now it's been twisted into a demonic bad thing, and somehow if you create atrocities, you're in his good graces. So that's where these little girls came from.
Okay, that at least begins to provide some sort of context within which we can attempt to make some degree of sense out of things.
Right. So, I mean, I still think they were definitely mentally disturbed and will probably have to be heavily sedated the rest of their lives. They're being tried as adults for what they've done, from my understanding. So they're probably
that's 35
in life.
Yeah, that's dumb. You know, sending a 13-year-old. No, Jesus. I haven't much patience.
Yeah, that's not good either. But that's our prison planet we live in, unfortunately, where we're all about putting people away and
no fair using his trademarks.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say the Alex Jones thing, but that's where I feel like we're coming from, unfortunately, in some ways, at least that way. In this nation, a prison nation. Sorry, we'll say that.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, I'll let you go because I know you're getting close to that time, and maybe someone else can squeeze in here.
I don't know. Maybe. Jeremy, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I always appreciate learning something new. Have a good evening.
No problem. Geek. You too. Bye.
Bye. Our buddy Jeremy calling from Vermont. Yeah, I've been reading the Slender Man story and go, what? I mean, I thought maybe he was some sort of dieting icon. Which is an entirely different cultural problem. Hey, thanks very much to Ed. Ed has just taken us down to only being $175 away from getting even, and that's a really, really big deal. So thank you very much, Ed. Much obliged. $175 to go so that tomorrow can just be our regular fundraising goal of $150. And barring that, tomorrow's fundraising goal will be $325. We'll cross our fingers. It's about 6 minutes before the hour. If you want to try to wedge in one more phone call, we certainly can. 304-574-8178 or Skype to Skype, just Bob Kincaid Horn. It works both ways. Apart from that, what else? What else might round out an otherwise merry Moran Monday? Do we have another Moran here? I'm pretty sure we do. Let's see here. You're going to love this. For about a month after the Freedom Industries coal chemical disaster transpired here in West Virginia, it was about all I could talk about. and it's still with us. They're beginning to tear down the Freedom Industries tank farm. There's only one problem. It is apparently a secret as to whether or not there's enough money left in the bankruptcy estate to pay for the thing to be taken apart. And according to a story by Ken Ward Jr. over at WVGazette.com and in the Charleston Gazette hard copy, and because I believe in newspapers, I do try to buy a hard copy just about every day. We still don't know how much it's going to cost to clean up Freedom Industries' mess, and nobody seems to want to tell. Okay, we can, all right. Randy Huffman is the director of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. Ooh, that's a real knee slapper every time I say that. Protection, right. He said in this newspaper story that if Freedom ends up not having the funds to get the job done, well, the West Virginia Department, he said his agency would take over and perform an emergency action to remediate the site. His agency. His money. No, us, the suckers. The state, the people of this state, who already pay $5 for every dollar that coal brings into this state, yeah, we'll be on the hook. His agency. My aching back. But at the bottom of the story, once again, buried lead that just absolutely, well, it's chilling, really. There's a guy named Welch who is with the company who's in charge of trying to figure out how to go about the remediation and who's got enough, whether there's enough money or not enough money. What's his first name? The financial consulting firm Morris Anderson and their managing director, Mark Welch. Mark Welch said, I can say for certainty that the state of West Virginia is not going to abandon that site or abandon the remediation. No, that's Huffman. No, it was Mark Welch who said that once the tanks are demolished and all the debris is removed and testing of the site's completed, then officials from Freedom and the DEP and parties to the bankruptcy case, interestingly, no, none of those people being people who were poisoned and or anything like that, oh, hell no, then they'll sit down and decide what sort of remediation measures are needed. Then. Only then. And then this. And what a great way to end the program. Mark Welch said, everyone involved has to decide what has to be done, except the people who were poisoned, who are apparently not involved anymore. It is a matter... oh, I'm going to run screaming into the night after this. It's a matter of how far do you want to go? You could clean it up until it's perfect, or you can clean it up until it's legal. Because apparently there's a great damn big difference between the two. Hoo-ah! You reckon the folks who live near it, you reckon the folks who were poisoned by it, by air, by water, by contact, you reckon they'd like to have the site perfect or just legal? Because legal standards in West Virginia don't mean just a whole hell of a bunch. There we go. And there's the program. Hey, thanks to Beth very much. Thank you, Beth, for jumping in right at the end. We are now at 150 to go, which means... we took care of half of the deficit this evening. So thanks indeed very, very kindly. Hopefully more will happen over the evening, and we'll start tomorrow with just our regular 150. Thank you, Beth. Thank you very kindly, and thank you one and all for getting all of this done and keeping all of this going. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Again, happy birthday to Kath, and thank you very much to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acheact.org, acheact.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.